It's Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. We're going to talk about the Russell Wilson situation. How real is it that he could be coming to Pittsburgh? We talk about that, the impending free agency situation as the tampering period opens up Monday for NFL free agency, all that more, and here and more on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, let's get into it. You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter. Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, breaking things down on your Pittsburgh Steelers on the Monday episode here. It's March 11th, which means free agency is upon us. We'll get into all those aspects of it very soon here. But as always, we want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you're experiencing the best bar because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local Pittsburgh area, and 80 of those beers are available on tap. You got to go try Mike's Beer Bar right now. It's the best bar in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about more of them later. Ray, we talked a little bit for the Friday episode about the Russell Wilson situation, just an update on everything, but now we've had some time to settle it in. He had supposedly a long visit with the Steelers. There's mutual interest. The Steelers like him. He likes the Steelers. He's exploring other teams like the Raiders and the Giants. There's a possibility here. Let's go into just the idea that if the Steelers and Russell Wilson followed through on this, if he became a Pittsburgh Steeler, what are the biggest parts of his game that you think fit what the Steelers are trying to do right now?
Well, just, you know, Russell's past and playing with good defensive units, and his offenses in Seattle had good running games and they were able to play action off that, hit some big plays down the field. I think that's where Russell Wilson would fit into the Steelers team. You know, it's still a very good defense, I think. They're aging, so they have to replenish on that side of the ball this offseason through free agency and the draft. But I think they believe that it's still good enough that they can be a playoff contender. And I think Russell Wilson merely is viewed by this front office as an upgrade over Kenny Pickett. They still think there's something left in the tank there. And just the belief that he could engineer points through a running game that's based off play action and deep plays down the field, I think that's where he would fit in with this football team.
That I'm right with you on that, is that they want a specific style of quarterback. They want to see if Kenny Pickett can fit that specific style of quarterback, but they also want to make sure that they have that answer if he doesn't, which, because I think the Steelers are getting tired of betting on things that don't work out and not having a contingency plan. And, you know, last year, Mason Rudolph kind of came through in the moment, but you want to have a better option, better than Mason Rudolph. But I think you want to have someone who pushes Kenny Pickett even more than Mason Rudolph. This is, hey, and even though Mason Rudolph at the end of the season, like, there was legit questions. Is he the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, or is Kenny Pickett? I feel like Russell Wilson is the ultimate challenge for Kenny Pickett in this situation. This is a 9-time Pro Bowler, a Super Bowl champion, a guy who's been a franchise quarterback. He's been in multiple organizations. He's been in the NFL for quite some time. You know, he'll be 35 when the season begins. This is a guy who I think that it puts all the pressure on Kenny Pickett to be like, hey, we may believe in you, but we believe that you're going to have to prove it to us that we're right. And I think that's where the Steelers are at as far as getting a guy like him. And to your point about play action, when the Broncos called play action with Russell Wilson last year, this guy had 11 touchdowns to one interception. Like, yeah, he was very efficient in play action last year. He found a way to be able to get the ball. He had a pass rating of 118.1. That is significant for just how efficient he was when they were able to fake the run. And that's who Arthur Smith's offense wants to be, right? You know, they want to be a unit that can run the ball and play off of that with play action. You know, in comparison, Kenny Pickett, 2 touchdowns to 0 interceptions. It wasn't bad, but just wasn't a high volume, and he had a pass rate of 109.7. Ray, how much, if they do, let's just assume they sign Russell Wilson. We're not saying that they will here, because there's still, I think, other hurdles to clear. But let's assume that happens. What chance do you give Kenny Pickett of even having a chance to fight for his job? It come training camp.
Yeah, I mean, that's a difficult question because everything they've said publicly, you know, has led a lot of us to believe that he would be the guy or he would be involved in a 50-50 competition. But, you know, the action of signing a guy with Russell Wilson's resume, I think, speaks otherwise. So, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I think I said it on Friday, if Russell would fall flat on his face and just not be good in training camp or in the preseason games, maybe there would be an avenue for Pickett to win that job. But if he should sign here, I think it's Russell Wilson's job. And I think Kenny Pickett would end up being number two.
Right. And I think that's the thing, is that that makes the most sense right now. I just wonder if it's going to be a, you know, if it's going to be a situation where if the Steelers are challenging Kenny Pickett to try to be better, if he'll get the chance to prove that he's better. Because, like, one thing we saw, and you and I were there, you know, Tomlin was in art. They want to bring competition for Kenny Pickett, but is it competition if it's just taking his job in the first place without much questions asked? And again, not that, like, the Steelers don't have time to care. Like, if Russell Wilson's just the better quarterback, you play him. You don't care about feelings right here, but it's, you know, are they going to completely give up on Kenny Pickett, or are they going to actually give him a shot to try to earn something in this situation?
I think a lot of that would depend on how the second year of that contract is structured and, you know, what the dead cap hit would be if they did have to move on from Russell Wilson after 1 year. Yeah, listen, I mean, if all things are equal and Kenny outperforms Russell Wilson during training camp, then, yeah, I think Kenny would win the starting job. But I think there's just something inherent in the fact that they're going after Russell Wilson, that they believe he's a better option. And I think they're going to try to structure everything around that in training camp if he is signed to go out there and win the starting job. So, you know, I think that's the way things work in the NFL. If you have a longer resume and you're a proven commodity, I think you tend to get the benefit of the doubt in those situations. And I said it last week, if this ends up being a year where Kenny Pickett is sitting and watching, I think that could certainly be beneficial for him in the long term. It might not benefit him in Pittsburgh in the long run, but just sitting and learning behind a vet is something he didn't get to do early in his career. And I think that's something that could potentially help him in year three here.
I also think that if Kenny Pickett were to come in and be able to actually, you know, fight his way through and become the starting quarterback after Russell Wilson, you know, a guy with his you know, background and his history in the NFL, if Kenny Pickett were to overcome that and become the starter with that, I think that's something that could reset conversations about him. Because then if you do that, it's like, whoa, wait a second. People said this guy wasn't a starting NFL quarterback. Well, he just took the place of a starting NFL quarterback. So maybe he gets a chance to reset that. And if he does well after that, that's part of his story. That's part of his legacy as far as building forward. And then it's a whole different ball game that you're talking about Kenny Pickett. And here's the great situation for the Steelers. If he doesn't do that, oh well, you have Russell Wilson, you have a veteran quarterback who can hold it down, and then you just chalk it up, you know, just dust your hands off and say, all right, you know, we just got to get back in the quarterback market to go and find the guy for the future. But again, we are not saying this is definitely happening, but there are a lot of things that to me add up to why it logically makes sense for this to happen. But I think there's still so many other factors that have to come into play.
Yeah, I think the interesting aspect of the situation is, no matter who the quarterback is, short of, you know, them signing Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota, and that would be, you know, strictly as a backup. But whether it's Russell Wilson or Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph, they're all going to be learning the new offense. So right. It's not like anyone really has an edge in that regard. I suppose you could say Russell would have the edge because he's been in different playbooks and he probably has a better idea of how to get through that quicker and maybe pick things up quicker. But this is going to be new for everyone. So I think everyone is going to be on the same learning curve there. And I think that'll make for a good competition whenever that does happen.
Absolutely. I want to talk about other free agent situations. It's not just quarterback that's a big deal, but also the rest of the team, because balancing this roster is going to be a big challenge. We'll talk about the other cuts that happened over the weekend while we were away, and also gets you ready for some of the people that you need to be looking at, who the Steelers might be looking at the most when tampering period opens Monday and then free agency begins officially Wednesday. All that here and more on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo. But first, I want to remind you this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you can find over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. When you go in there, all those different beers, one, they're being subbed in and out every day with new options so that you can always have something new on the menu. But they have every type of beer that you could imagine, whether you want a sour beer, whether you want a fruity beer, whether you want a stout, whether you want an IPA, whether you want just a simple lager, old school beers, new school beers, all the different things, all the great breweries that are in the Pittsburgh area. You can find them all at Mike's Beer Bar. It's an amazing place. You go there. They also have over 20 televisions. So if you're like me and you're trying to pay attention to every conference tournament basketball game and college basketball as you get ready for March Madness, that's the best place to go because you can watch all of the games there while enjoying so many different great types of beer, as well as amazing food like their steak on a stone. Go try Mike's Beer Bar today. It's on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park in the North Shore. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. Back here in the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking all things Steelers as we get ready for free agency. Ray, let's look at a few things here. Now, I do believe we had recorded by the time Patrick Peterson had been released for the Friday episode, so that part was there. But we had not recorded when Allen Robinson had been released. And not that that's a shocker, that's what we expected. But we were all wondering, why hasn't this happened yet? That's $10 million that can just come off the books right now. What is taking so long? But now that it has, the Steelers have approximately anywhere from like $28 to $29 million in cap space that they can use right now. And they can still create more if they wanted to release anyone else, like a DeMonte KZ, or extend some guys, give Cam Hayward void years, you know, do different things, restructure deals. All that's on the table to create more space. How much money do you think the Steelers are legitimately trying to open up right now? Is this a year where they do a lot to kick more cans down the road?
You know, I think Hayward is the one big one that's left. I'm not sure how much that'll create. I'm going to say between 35 and 40 million, Chris. And you know, people say, wow, that's a lot of money. But when you look at their situation in that secondary,
right,
and how much money they have to spend on a strong safety and cornerbacks, slot and outside, and then we haven't even address inside linebacker, center, or receiver, that money's going to go pretty quick. So, you know, it could end up being more than $40 million, I suppose, if they do some restructures and things along those lines. You know, the Steelers are always going to spend to the cap, but it is a matter of how much, you know, you want to push that off down into the road. So we'll see how that goes here. But, yeah, I think whatever they create, let's say 35 is the minimum, 50 million is the maximum. I think that'll be plenty for Omar to get the job done, but it's not like they're going to be going out there and signing or trading for the top free agents or the top guys on the market. They just don't have the type of money, I don't think, to be able to do that.
I think I'm right with you. Right now, because they have so many different needs and they want to balance this roster out, they want to put the Steelers in a situation where going into the draft, like you've said, like I've said, like we've talked about, this is their philosophy. They don't want to have a one big need that they have to go into the draft with that makes them predictable on their draft board with who they got to go to. They want to be able to pick best player available. So to do that, they can't spend on one big free agent. They have to spend on solid veterans here and there and make their smart additions. And we've talked about some of the smart additions. Jerome Baker makes a lot of sense. The linebacker out that just got cut by the Dolphins. He was former teammates with Landon Roberts. He's a guy that seems to like the Steelers. They seem to like him. That kind of stuff adds up. Guys like Tyler Boyd, who probably won't command much money to be a veteran wide receiver coming in. That adds up, you know. But you know, thinking like they're going to be in the market, like, you know, not that these guys are, Jalen Jones and L'Jarius Sneed. They got franchise. Well, Jalen Jones is signed now, and yeah, L'Jarius Sneed's been franchise tagged with the prospect of being traded from the Chiefs. But to get those big names, you know, another one, Justin Simmons, a safety that came free. To get guys like that, you're going to have to pay big money. When you pay big money with the salary cap situation the Steelers are going through right now, you're going to risk having some very slim parts of your depth chart. And we've seen how injuries can quickly derail even a deep position. Last year, they went and got three starting linebackers basically to rotate between with backups behind them. And then by, you know, December, you know, two thirds of that line, those linebackers were gone. And then the third one was finishing the season hurt. And it's just a reality. I think the Steelers need to be kind of fortifying themselves to be able to handle different injuries at different positions. And that prevents them from going and making a big splash.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how this shakes out. There's always surprises in free agency in terms of which positions get paid, but you've already seen what's happened to the safety market, Chris.
Yeah.
Safeties have flooded the market. They're going to come cheap. There's a lot of veteran centers on the market. So I think the market, the free agent market for centers might be beneficial for the Steelers. You know, Jalen Johnson signed a big deal, but I'm wondering about the cornerback market. You saw how the Chiefs decided between Chris Jones and Legarius Sneed.
Yeah.
I think every team would do that. I think the defensive line is so much more important. Getting pressure on on quarterbacks is so much more important now than cover guys. So is the cornerback market as good as it has been? Because there's been some big swings and misses in that cornerback market over the years. Teams have spent, and then those guys have been cut. It's turned out to not to be great signing. So, you know, which position is maybe going to be a little bit undervalued or overvalued this year? We're going to find out. But I already think centers and safeties, I think the price is going to be down, and I think that's good for the Steelers because they have two big needs there.
Speaking of centers, I believe Andre James just got re-signed by the Raiders right around the time we were starting the show. So he's another center free agent that's off the board here. But it doesn't mean that there's not other options for the Steelers. So, but you're right. I think all the different positions that they're looking at right now, corner, safety, linebacker, center, all those things, they're on the table, but it's a question of who should they get that's best fit for them. We'll explore more of that discussion here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi, stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi. Ray, let's take a look at some more specific names as far as guys that fit what the Steelers are looking for. You talked about, you know, the secondary. Right now in the secondary, it's Joey Porter Jr., Corey Trice, Darius Rush, as far as cornerback.
Right.
That's not something that you go into the NFL season with. And they don't even have a slot corner. So if you're the Steelers in this situation, I could fully see them not just signing two free agents, but then after signing two free agents, going and getting a cornerback high up in the draft, maybe first, second, third round. You know, this is a year where there's a good cornerback class. And I also think there's decent veteran cornerbacks available in free agency who you could get to kind of hold down the position while you waited for those young cornerbacks to develop.
Yeah. You know, Sneed is obviously going to be the highest paid once he's traded for and then, you know, signed to a new contract. But, you know, you got some mid-tier guys that could be options for the Steelers. Awuzie, who has spent the last couple of years with the Bengals, Adoree Jackson, started with the Titans. He was with the Giants. So they would be mid-tier guys. You know, if you want to look at low-tier guys, you're probably looking more at slot guys. I mean, I harken back to what the Steelers did last year on draft day. No one batted an eye. And then when I think it was like in the fourth or the fifth round, I mean, they announced that they signed Chandon Sullivan, and people were like, oh, he's just a guy. Well, he ended up being the starting slot corner for most of the season. I don't think he was terrible. I don't know that they're going to re-sign him, but the point is they got him for about the vet minimum, and maybe they go that route again just as a stopgap, right? You know, get a guy in place, then if you draft a slot, then, you know, Chandon Sullivan doesn't have to be on the roster. So, again, they're not going to go for the high price guy, but I can see them going mid-tier for an outside corner starter and then probably low-tier for a guy in the slot in free agency.
No, I feel you on both of those because you need outside guys to be able to run with the best on the outside, but you also need inside guys to be able to help challenge you in the different parts of the field. The inside guys also need to be versatile. They can't just be guys that are just cover guys, and they can't just be guys that are good blitzers. You know, I think the Steelers have been trying to find that balance for years. Mike Hilton, you know, had that for a little bit, but he was more on the stuff the run, blitz the quarterback side, and he could help out in coverage underneath. But when you ask Mike Hilton to run with a guy 40 yards downfield, then he was out of his element, and then he wasn't as successful regularly. And that's where I think the Steelers are trying to find someone in this free agency pool who can be feisty, who can test everything, and especially at cornerback, you know, not cost them a whole lot of money, but give them solid quality play on the outside as well as in the slot.
Yeah, I mean, since Mike Hilton left, and I thought Mike Hilton had some really good years for the Bengals after he left.
He did.
But for the Steelers, it's Arthur Mollett. You know, he was here, and then there was that falling out where he pretty much asked for his release, and they gave it to him. And then last year they go with Sullivan, and I know they tried like 20 guys there in training camp, and it ended up being Sullivan who won that job. So, you know, they haven't really found a good replacement for Mike Hilton since he left. So I think that's important to take care of that this offseason. But, you know, I just look at the secondary on the whole, and really the back seven, when you include inside linebacker, they really got to do a great job this offseason of piecing that together. We saw what happened in the playoffs when the inside linebackers were injured. That didn't turn out well. They couldn't run with tight ends. They couldn't cover tight ends. So they got to get that squared away. And this is a really big offseason for Omar Khan. So, yeah, outside and slot corner, those are big needs this offseason. But inside linebacker and safety are just as important, I think.
They are. And because they connect the defense, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the corners and the pass rush and everything, the linebackers and the safeties, especially the strong safeties, the guys that jump down in the box, they're the guys that are the intermediaries that kind of piece everything together. They help cover over the middle. They force, you know, they're the ones, if they're on their games, the quarterbacks are forcing the throws into tougher situations outside the numbers, which give those players more chances to react to the ball. That's what you need. You need guys that can play in the middle part of the field and play well. And I think they have solid guys there. They could use some good guys there. And that's where I think the Steelers could be looking reasonably with some of their free agent signings.
Yeah, and I think that's why you probably keep KZ. I mean, you could say like, what, $2-3 million if you cut KZ, but you just cut Keanu Neal. I mean, KZ is, you know, he's more of that third safety. They like to play a lot of three safety packages, but I think he's best in that role when he's coming off the bench and he's playing in passing situations. And I think if they can get a strong safety who's good in the box, can tackle, can stop the run a little bit, you know, I think that's the direction they'll go. Again, until he was injured last year, I thought he was okay, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought he was solid. Not great, but I thought he was okay in that role. Their big goal, and I don't know if they can get back to this, their big goal is to free up Minkah Fitzpatrick and get him back to being this defense's top playmaker. But
absolutely,
they've just been so inconsistent in being able to make that happen the last couple of years. 2021, he was the team's leading tackler. Got, you know, 2022 was better. He got back to forcing turnovers again. But then last season with all the injuries, they were asking him to do so many different things that he couldn't force turnovers. So I'm not saying go out and re-sign Terrell Edmunds, but I'm saying go out and get a guy like him who will do that dirty work, will shut up and be quiet about it, and just fill that role so Minkah can be Minkah. I think that's what they need. I don't know if you need a big name or a high-priced guy to do that. Just get a guy who can play like Edmunds and who could free him up to, you know, be his normal self. I think that's what they need.
Heck, Edmunds is available right now. But I'm right with you. They don't need Justin Simmons. They could get a solid guy who could come down in the box, who can help cover the slot, to help cover running backs, help cover tight ends, and just free Minkah Fitzpatrick from having to worry about any of that. And the thing is, the competitor in Minkah Fitzpatrick doesn't want to give up worrying about that. He wants to be able to control and do more and lead more. But sometimes best leadership is when you're putting yourself in the best position to help your team. And I think it's undeniably clear the best situation for him to help his team is in that situation. So I'm right with you there. I think that this is there's a lot of things that are kind of spelled out for the Steelers moving forward. I'm going to be curious to see what Omar Khan does free agency wise moving forward, as far as how they kind of spread this out, what positions kind of get priority here, and then where do you see the holes in the NFL draft plan? Because I look at center, I look at tackle, and I look at corner and linebacker and safety and all these things, there's guys they can get in the NFL draft. Some not in the first, some maybe one in the second or third rounds, but there's space to get those guys. And Ray, you know, whenever we get done with free agency and we see the Steelers with their roster, I think that's going to be the interesting thing to see. Like, okay, what are the obvious targets? Are we going to talk about Jaxon Powers-Johnson as much after free agency if they go sign a decent free agent center? Are we going to talk about corners as much? You know, all those are legitimate questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And get ready for Monday. Monday at noon, the news is going to start flying. These transactions won't be able to be official until Wednesday, but pretty much all the big names, Chris, will be off the board Monday and Tuesday, early Wednesday. That's when all the big guys are going to be signed by other teams.
Absolutely. And to stay up to date with all of that, subscribe to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com, for all the updates from Ray, Brian, Jerry, our entire Steelers team, as well as all of our sports writers and local news coverage here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, of the North Shore Drive podcast. Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. Find me here on the North Shore Drive podcast every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, talking with any of our great writers here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back Wednesday with more here on the Pittsburgh Steelers and for the start of free agency right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.